And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It is always a good day here at WGTD when we can be sitting opposite our good friend Nan Calvert, who visits us on a monthly visit, on a monthly basis to offer up a program related to the natural world around us and environmental concerns. And today we're talking about one of the most beautiful spots in all of southeastern Wisconsin. It's a place I know very, very well, and maybe you do too, but on the other hand, maybe you don't, or maybe you don't know about some of the wonderful additions that have been made to Hawthorne Hollow. We have two staff members with us whom we will introduce in just a moment. But first, Nan Calvert, we welcome you back to the morning show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks, Greg.
So tell us what prompted you to want to devote a morning show to Hawthorne Hollow.
Well, you know, Hawthorne Hollow is a happening place all of the time. They have a lot of really cool things coming up. I'm sure lots of our listeners know about the Walk in the Woods Art Fair, which is a few months down the road yet. But there are also some very exciting things happening, you know, closer to now, and I'll let them talk about that. And that's why I wanted them to come on.
And them refers to, first of all, TJ Levesque, who is the executive director at Hawthorne Hollow. And how long have you been there and in that position?
Well, I started in 2011 as a grounds curator, and I've been in this position since the summer of 2020.
Okay, very good. So you climbed the ladder over the years.
I sure did. Yeah, I got to wear many hats along the way.
Very good. And also with us, and she has been with us before, is Kaylin Palomares, who is a staff naturalist. And I think you have another position there as well.
It kind of doubles as naturalist and education manager. They kind of go hand in hand. Yeah.
Very good. And how long have you been with Hawthorne Hollow?
It's going on 2 years now. In September, it'll be 2 years, so...
Very good. Well, we're glad you're both here. Nan, tell us about your own personal connection to Hawthorne Hollow. I mean, the first time you remember visiting there.
Oh, my goodness. I think the very first time I ever visited Hawthorne Hollow was for the Walk in the Woods Art Fair. And it's just such a magical event. You know, you have this beautiful nature sanctuary and, you know, you're just surrounded by the woodland and all these wonderful artists. And it's such great energy, such a great vibe. And, you know, since then, I've been there several times. And, of course, I knew Kaylin before she was famous and also TJ. And so that's my connection with Hawthorne Hollow.
Excellent. I just want to mention, just to get it out of the way, that my connection to Hawthorne Hollow is that my wife Kathy and I, 2 years early in our marriage, so this would be like 92 to 94, we rented a house that was right next door to Hawthorne Hollow, immediately to the south. And so that was our introduction to Hawthorne Hollow. We popped over there all the time, and we don't visit nearly as often as we should in subsequent years, but I feel a very... very close connection and affection with the place and with all of its beauty. And TJ, you were saying something about how a portion of that land on which my wife and I lived, even though the house is no longer there, it was torn down when Green Bay Road was expanded, but some of that property owned by Dr. Nimmer is now part of Hawthorne Hollow.
Yes. So from Green Bay Road back to the railroad tracks, 50 acres, we acquired that in 2016. And it's actually a really exciting year for us because we're essentially doubled in size. We've always been 40 acres, and now we're 90 acres.
Whoa.
And this year, on July 15th, we're actually opening up trails back there, back by the railroad tracks. Let's see, it's kind of a long story how to get there, but we got a grant in 2018, a couple grants to carry out a wetland restoration project, very big project, many years, and we're here. So we're here. The land's been restored. We have a wetland there. It holds water, and now we have trails that we're developing, and we're getting close. We're checking off the boxes. We're getting so close to that opening date, which we're really looking forward to on July 15th. I'm sure Kaylin will talk more about that. She's got some plans for that date.
Very good. That is quite exciting. We probably need to get a little bit of history out of the way, and although I don't mean to imply that we should brush past it quickly, because, of course, the story of how Hawthorne Hollow was created and by whom is a wonderful story. So why don't the two of you tell our listeners, especially for the sake of those who don't know, how Hawthorne Hollow came into existence.
So Hawthorne Hollow was actually originally just a land that was up for purchase. And there was two sisters that were actually teachers in Racine. They were Ruth and Margaret Teuscher. And they were out. They were looking for land that they wanted to camp on. And they pulled off to the side of the road on Green Bay Road, which at that point was, I'm assuming, it was a gravel road. It wasn't even a proper road.
Yeah, it was out in the county back then.
Yeah, and when they pulled off to the side of the road, their dog ran off into the woods. And so they had to chase their dog. And when they finally caught up with the dog, they came across this big hollow along the river surrounded by hawthorn trees. And they fell in love with the land. It happened to be for sale, and so they purchased it. They originally camped on that land for many years, and then as they were getting older, they wanted to stay there full time. So they built their home there. They built a horse stable. They had an apple orchard, and they began an arboretum that was also Clarence Godshaw, who helped design the parts of the Morton Arboretum, actually came down and helped to design the arboretum at Hawthorne Hollow with them. And so over the years, it was distinguished as a wildlife refuge and then later a nature sanctuary. And that's kind of where we are today.
Yeah, in 1966, Ruth and Margaret Teuscher deeded over the land to the Hyslop Foundation. And the Hyslop Foundation, if you're familiar with, remember Barden's downtown?
Right.
So H. Chris Hyslop owned Barden's, and he started a foundation in 1964 and was looking for a place, you know, looking for a purpose for his foundation. He met Ruth and Margaret Teuscher, and they kicked it off, and we even opened it to the public as a nature sanctuary in our region since 1970.
Wow. And just for the sake of newcomers in the area, Barden's was a very, very well-known, beautiful department store, downtown department store. So there's an interesting connection there. Maybe you could help us understand kind of the distinction between what now is officially a part of your name, Hawthorne Hollow Nature Sanctuary and Arboretum. So first of all, what's the difference, Kaylin, between a nature sanctuary versus a wildlife refuge? Because I think you said at some point that's what Hawthorne Hollow was.
Yeah, it was originally a wildlife refuge, and I think that was just what the sisters were able to label it as at that time. And then as it became open to the public, and they weren't just focused on wildlife necessarily, they're focused on all of nature, so the plants, the trees, the different ecosystems. And so it kind of translated into a nature sanctuary over time because they were not only caring about the animals, they were caring about all of it that works together. So
right. And so when we talk about a nature sanctuary, is that an official designation or not particularly?
I don't think so. It's kind of like an umbrella that covers, you know, nature center, nature sanctuary, conservation area, that sort of thing. They all kind of fall under the same umbrella.
Right. And so the understanding as a sanctuary then is these things are safe there, or as safe as they can possibly be. What about the arboretum? In what way is that term being used here?
Yeah, so arboretum is an official term, and that's a term for essentially a museum of trees. So a museum of trees generally is for someone to walk around and be able to learn about trees and be able to see different examples of trees, perhaps from around the world. And so our arboretum, we have a designated area that we call our arboretum. It's kind of right smack dab in the middle when you come in the driveway. And there's trees all around the outskirts of a field, and all of those trees are different species, and some from around the world. And so people can go around and they can learn about how trees work, why they're important, and kind of see the difference between where maybe a sugar maple versus a Japanese maple. They can see the difference between those. And we're actually working on a project right now to kind of better our arboretum. It was neglected for a little while. So we have two arborists this summer that are working to do some pruning, planting new trees to increase the amount of trees that we have in there, have some more diversity. We're doing some labeling, so making sure that when people do visit our arboretum, they can actually learn about the trees that are there and not just guess. and that also extends into our forest as well. So technically, the entire place is considered an arboretum. And so any of the wild trees, the native trees that are in the forest also count towards that too. So it's really just a place to study and learn about trees. But obviously, that's not all we do. So that's why we kind of have them both in the name.
Fantastic.
this arborist program that she's talking about, we were awarded a grant. So Kaylin wrote a grant to We Energies. And so we were awarded this grant, a pretty generous grant through We Energies. And they were able to make this program possible that Kaylin's developing.
Yeah, it's the We Energies Foundation. Mm. And they are helping us by supporting the arborist position's educational signage, a new walking path through the Arboretum at Hawthorne Hollow. So it's a really exciting thing, and it's all kind of happening this year. So it's a really, really big year for us.
Great. Fantastic. Well, yay Hawthorne Hollow, and yay We Energies for doing something good. For those of you just joining us today, today's morning show is Nan Calvert's monthly visit to the program. And for May, she has brought to our studios two marvelous guests, TJ Levesque, who is executive director of Hawthorne Hollow, and Kaylin Palomares, who is a naturalist on staff and also the education manager. And as we've already been talking, it's a big year for Hawthorne Hollow, and we have a lot of special events that we want to talk about, as well as talking in more detail about what one finds there. One thing we haven't touched on yet are the structures that are on the grounds of Hawthorne Hollow. So explain to our listeners what some of those structures are, and in several cases, how they got there, since they weren't built there.
So some of our more interesting buildings are our historic buildings. So back in the late 60s, we had three buildings that were moved to the property, the oldest one being the 1847 One Room Schoolhouse, the original Pike River Schoolhouse.
1847?
Yeah, it's still standing.
I had forgotten it was that old.
Yeah, so there was the old schoolhouse property on A there in Summers, just north of Hawthorne Hollow, and it was used by a one-room schoolhouse. And then in 1906, there was the community became large enough where we needed a slightly larger one-room schoolhouse. So in 1906, they built another one-room schoolhouse, and the other one was used as a storage room and eventually a grain bins of sorts. Mm-hmm. But both those buildings, the 1906 one-room schoolhouse and the 1847 one-room schoolhouse, were moved here in the 60s with support from some of our neighbors. And then also the original Town Hall of Summers, the 1858 Town Hall, which was originally on Green Bay Road and E on the southeast corner there where the cemetery is. Hmm. So it was, they were, you know, moved down the road, down EA, and it was a big process back in the 60s, and they're here now, and we're taking good care of them.
Hmm. So what are they used for? Is it, are they just for people to kind of peek inside and take a look?
They are open to the public. The 1906 One Room Schoolhouse, we actually partnered with the Kenosha Historical Society, you know, the Kenosha History Museum, and they have developed this. Really excited. It's a 1906 one-room schoolhouse program where students, usually third graders, come and they spend the day in the 1906 one-room schoolhouse. We just had Pleasant Prairie come out yesterday, and they were dressed up like it was 1906. You know, the straw hats and suspenders and bonnets, and the docents, the teachers would be there, and, you know, at first they're really strict. You know, it's 1906. It's strict, you know, only I'm talking, and boys in this line, girls in this line, and they loosen up for the day. But it's a really fun program, one of the many field trips that we have at Hawthorne Hollow.
That's cool. So people, in a sense, are stepping back in time.
Yes.
So the house that the sisters built and lived in is there as well?
Yes, it is. The house and the original horse stable is there as well. So the horse stable was converted into our nature center. So we generally have it's like a conference room. We use that for meetings and for workshops and classes, things of that sort. We also have our boutique attached to that as well. So it's kind of our gift shop. And then the Toysher House, we just call it the Toysher House at this point, that is now our offices. And we have long-term goals of maybe eventually turning that into some sort of a museum, like a Toysher Museum or just a Hawthorne Hollow History Museum. But for the time being, that's our offices. So it's pretty well preserved to what it looked like when they lived there. We've got a lot of really old documents and photos from when the sisters, you know, were there, and they wrote diary entries. And so it's a really cool house to be in.
Just makes you want to wish you knew them, right?
I wish I knew them, yes.
I mean, they just sound like they were absolutely extraordinary. Do you happen to know how long they lived? roughly at least?
They were in their 80s?
Yeah, they're in their 80s. They were born in the late 1800s, and they died in the 1980s.
Okay.
They were born in Iowa, and they came here from Iowa, taught in Racine at Park, and Ruth wrote a textbook. So by all accounts, they were characters. And actually, Kaylin's developing
I'm calling it the Toyshir Social. Yes. I'm trying to collect people who knew the Toyshir sisters or used to visit Hawthorne Hollow towards the beginning to get some stories, to get some photos, and talk back and forth. So we're actually doing that on June 10th. So if anybody listening happened to knew the Toyshir sisters or, visited Hawthorne Hollow when it was first starting out, we would love to see you on June 10th. It's going to be at 10 a.m. at the Nature Center in their old horse stable.
Fantastic.
You know, all this talk about history, I should say that a big part of our mission is local heritage. So our mission focuses on environmental education, sanctuary preservation, and local heritage, hence, the historic buildings and the history of Summers and all the fantastic work that the Toyshir sisters did.
Great. So I also want to make sure that we talk about a really extraordinary couple who were neighbors just to the north and west, and that would be Charles and Catherine Heide.
Yes.
I knew both of the Heides actually quite well, and I know that they are, in a sense, associated with Hawthorne Hollow because of the schoolyard observatory. Although I honestly don't know a whole lot about this or how it came into being. So, and I have a feeling a lot of people maybe don't know the full story of this. So share a little bit about the Charles and Catherine Heide Schoolyard Observatory.
Well, the Heides are they're amazing neighbors, and they have been amazing neighbors for years and years, dating back to, so Charles Heide's dad, Charles Senior, but he actually helped fund moving the 1906 schoolhouse way back in the 60s. And then his son, Charles or Chuck, he took one of his hobbies was astronomy, and he had a vision for us having an observatory at one point, and he was really instrumental, and he made it possible for us to get this off the ground. There are many plans to have it, maybe over at that original site where the original schoolyard was on A.
Mm.
That's why it's called the Schoolhouse Observatory, because it was going to be there for a little bit. And then its home was found right there in our arboretum at Hawthorne Hollow. So that was put up, and they constructed that in 2016, and Charles was around to come and see it. And actually, we just last fall, we put a new telescope in there. It's we're calling it one of the largest public telescopes in the area. And I've gotten fortunate enough to go in there and use it. And you can really, when you're looking at the moon, it's like you're on the moon.
Mm.
You can see all the rings, the detailed rings of Saturn, and it's pretty amazing. We have viewings of the every night of the with Tuesdays through Fridays, or is it Mondays?
It's every night except for Tuesdays, I believe.
Okay, thank you. Public viewings when the sky allows us to. So if you're interested in that, on our website we have an observatory part of it, and you can go on there and come and look at the stars with us.
Wow, a wonderful opportunity. Well, let's talk about the trails at Hawthorne Hollow. And first of all, what's there right now, what has been there, and then what is going to be there?
So we've had approximately, 50 acres before we had before?
40.
And that's not necessarily all trails. That includes the arboretum and the buildings. But we've done kind of the math, and we had about 2.5 miles of trails existing as of right now. And then with the new addition, we're adding on another about 2.5 miles of trails. So it's just under, it's going to be just under 5 miles total of trails, which is really awesome. And the trails, they go in every ecosystem you could possibly think of. We've got a fen, which is kind of a more rare ecosystem in the state. It's kind of like a threatened habitat, I suppose. And we've got our forests, we've got prairies, the wetland, which is on a part of the new property. It follows the Pike River. Many of our trails follow the Pike River, and you can see many different areas of that. So there's a lot of diversity on our trails, and we take a lot of pride in how natural of a setting it is out there still, despite restoration work, where sometimes when you're in the midst of restoration work, it can look kind of sad when you're clearing trees or when you're putting down, when you're planting things or what have you. But we take pride in that everything looks really nice and natural and beautiful almost all the time. So lots of great trails. And the trails are open to the public during our open hours, and it's free to visit. There's a suggested donation of like a dollar or something when you go on the trails, but open to the public during our open hours, and definitely highly recommend taking a walk or two.
Right. So so the property that you have recently acquired, then, that more than doubles the whole size, the acreage of Hawthorne Hollow. So those forests, that forest area, already had trails, or are you needing to, in a sense, create those trails?
Both. There were some proper trails, but there's a lot of informal trails. The land was previously used for hunting, and it was also a walnut and pine plantation. And they were kind of let to grow past when they're supposed to be when you're trying to cut down trees for lumber. So a lot of those trees were unhealthy. They are unhealthy right now because they're planted too close to one another. Mm. So between the restoration and our trail building, we've added a lot of new trail systems to that. We built a new boardwalk to go right through our new wetland as well. So it's not only just, you know, trails that are either mulch or grass or whatever. We also have this beautiful boardwalk. It's very picturesque, and again, all times of the year, it's awesome. So, but yeah, we've been working very, very hard the last couple years between the restoration and this opening to make new trails.
Right. So when it comes to doing, especially the creation of new trails, is there kind of a science to that in terms of where the trails should go? I mean, what exactly that pathway should be, and also what's involved in, I mean, once you, I assume some kind of decision gets made about this path should now go here, and then what do you do to actually create the path itself?
It can be kind of intuitive. So what you think when you're walking this land before there's a trail there, what's the best way to get from point A to point B? What's the most picturesque way to get from point A to point B? Where is it going to be the path of least resistance when we want to put down mulch, or we want to make sure that this is accessible by our golf carts or whatever? So we take those things into account, so it's pretty intuitive. And then when you decide where you want that trail to be, there's some clearing involved. We do have to take out some trees, but again, there's quite a few dead trees in this newer area because of the plantation, old ash trees, things of that nature, but also just a ton of tiny, maybe like sugar maples, for instance. We love our sugar maples, but they can be aggressive, and so when we're clearing trails, we just try to do path of least resistance, which may mean a bunch of tiny baby maples cutting through them. And that might sound harsh, but in the world of conservation, you sometimes have to take out some in order to better it. So but usually it's clearing trees or picking a spot where there's not any trees in the way, so kind of meandering around if you can, and then kind of driving over it a bunch with golf carts or modding it with our tractor, and then laying down mulch or stone and hoping that it doesn't grow grass again or grow trees.
Exactly. I remember when my wife and I first started renting the property that I talked about at the top of the interview. Actually, the day I don't know if we signed a lease or what it was exactly, but I mean, the day we did our paperwork with Dr. Nimmer and his wife, they took us back to that whole area, and we weren't dressed for it or anything, but we ended up going on this spontaneous hike, and it was breathtakingly beautiful. I mean, now that's more than 30 years ago, so it probably maybe doesn't look exactly like it looked decades ago, but it was absolutely gorgeous, and I can see how you would be really excited to have that be part of Hawthorne Hollow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what's really exciting about this is the river. So the river, the Pike River that goes through Hawthorne Hollow, snakes pretty nicely. When it hits Dr. Nimmer's, you know, what is now the Ozan Outpost, it drastically snakes, and the topography is kind of extreme. And yeah, it's really beautiful, and we're excited to show everyone.
Excellent. So come July 15th,
yes,
people can hike those new trails.
July 15th, we're going to do a grand opening. You can expect to have some guided nature hikes that day, perhaps some bird walks. We are going to do a ribbon cutting, as you must when it comes to something like this. And we just hope everyone comes out and checks it out. And it's going to be a very exciting day and a very exciting summer for us.
Wonderful. We're talking about Hawthorne Hollow on today's morning show. This is Nan Calvert's wonderful idea. We have TJ Levesque with us, executive director, and Kaylin Palomares, who is a staff naturalist and education manager. We should talk about the wetland that now exists. And did I understand you correctly that this is a wetland that you created? I mean, God didn't create this wetland. Hawthorne Hollow did, right?
Historically, it was a wetland.
Oh, okay. So you're restoring something that was there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much. In the 90s, Dr. Nimmer entered, put that land into forest law management, you know, planting those cedars and the spruce. And what was happening is there's a ravine there going into the Pike River, and the ravine was pretty much turning into a canyon. You could fall into it, you know. And it was very extreme. So what we did with this restoration project was identified what would be the wetland, took those trees down, ground the stumps, scraped all that area. It's about 10 acres worth of area there, and then all of that scraping of the soil was burned up around it, and then we filled that ravine in. And now when it rains or when the snow melts, that area actually holds, when I said hold water before, it literally holds water. It turns into what we call Lake Laurie. Laurie Artiomos are old ecologists that are previous ecologists that just retired. And so this is Laurie's project, you know, Lake Laurie. But this is what Kaylin was talking about. The boardwalk goes over this, what's now the wetland here. And it's very scenic. And it's home to diverse native species that really give the land some value.
Wonderful. So, Nan, explain to our listeners why the addition of a wetland is such a significant thing and the kind of role that a wetland can play.
Well, in general, it's significant because wetlands are essentially the sponges or the kidneys of our ecosystems. And so all of that snow melt, rain, whatever kind of precipitation we have, eventually goes to a wetland. And then if you have a healthy wetland with a diverse number of plants, it means that that water can then go back down underground into the underground aquifers where it's supposed to go and then complete the water cycle and bubble up and that sort of thing. Specifically, it's especially important. I almost said especially. It's especially important because if you know anything about the surrounding area here near Hawthorne Hollow, it's a lot of impervious surface, and it's only going to get worse. So when you take away good soil, when you take away the Earth's ability to infiltrate water, again, back down into the underground aquifers, you end up with a lot of flooding. You end up with highly contaminated waterways. You end up with a lot of erosion. TJ was just mentioning how, you know, it developed into a canyon because, you know, the soil wasn't stabilized. And again, erosion causes siltification in our fresh water. And so to have original wetlands restored and then also to have them expanded is just key to flood control and clean water. We can't have enough wetlands at this point.
Very good. So exactly how was this accomplished, the restoration of this wetland?
We got some grants from the Fund for Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes Water, Great Lakes Sediment Reduction Act. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the whole purpose of it was to keep the water on the land, so less water floods into the river. And our ecologist knows this, but there's a certain number of pounds or tons of phosphates in soil sediment parts that are being held back into the land that aren't being washed into the water now. I mean, we are losing, you know, land, feet of land per year sometimes that would just get washed into the river. And it's a problem all the way up and down the river, but we're doing our part in trying to kind of set an example of what can be done. You know, like Petrified Springs did another great project with their riverbanks. So that's our plan with it. So it's not just the wetland and holding the water, but it's protecting the river.
Right.
You know, that ties in, what TJ just said ties into our previous month's guests when they were talking about cover cropping. So when you think about all of the agricultural land that has no vegetation on it, when ice melts and snow melts and it rains, where does all that soil go? It goes into our waterways. And all of the stuff that the soil contains, whether it's phosphorus or nitrogen or whatever it may be, that's why wetlands are so important.
Right. And that's also why cover crops are important.
That's also why cover cropping is extremely important. Yeah.
Very good. All right. We need to get to the matter of all the reasons to visit Hawthorne Hollow besides just walking the grounds and looking at all the pretty things, the pretty birds, the pretty butterflies, the pretty trees, and so on. But there are, of course, all kinds of activities that are going on at Hawthorne Hollow. And, Kaylin, I suspect that you are kind of the driving force and coordinator of at least most of that activity, right?
Yeah, a lot of it. We have a nice team. We all do our part for all these events and things. My focus is on educational opportunities, so I definitely want to plug. I've got a BioBlitz coming up. And if you're not familiar with a BioBlitz, it's a 24-hour biodiversity survey that is usually within a designated area. And people from all experiences, levels, will come out and they will help us to identify as many different species of anything as you can within 24 hours. You camp out, and then there's kind of a celebration at the end to figure out, you know, how much did we find. Usually the Milwaukee Public Museum picks somewhere in the state to go every year, and so last year I visited Pringle for theirs, and I was very excited about that option for us. So we're working with the Kenosha Public Museum for ours, and that's happening on June 30th through July 1st.
Huh.
It's an overnight. It's from 3 p.m. to 3 p.m., so if anybody from any level of education on animals, plants, fungi, snakes, fish, anything. If you have any knowledge on it whatsoever, even if you just have a book, I definitely recommend coming out and having fun with us. We're going to have some educational walks during that to go and actually search out for some of these species, and it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. So are different people looking for particular things, or is everybody looking for anything?
Generally, there's teams. So whatever you're most interested in, or even if just for a portion of that time you want to do plants, and then for another portion you want to go do insects, you can kind of choose. But generally, you're a part of a team, and you kind of go out with other people who may be more of an expert in the field. And then we also have expert volunteers who are also going to be there to help to make sure that the identifications are correct, mostly using the app called iNaturalist. You can go on there, and people from even around the world and around the country can view our BioBlitz and double-check our identifications to make sure that they're correct. And that's a really easy way to track all of those different those species that we're finding. Instead of just scratching it all on some paper, we have a digital way to keep track of it.
Wow. And then you're, in a sense, checking in with experts who can really confirm what you think you
have
found.
Even if they can't be here in person.
Wow. That's a great idea. Wonderful. So people sleeping in tents, do they bring their own tents along?
Yep. They'll bring their own tents. We'll have a designated camping area. We'll have some snacks and some... We'll have a first aid area and bathrooms, and I've thought of it all, so we're very excited. And there's never really been an opportunity to camp out at Hawthorne Hollow either before, so if anyone's ever been curious to do that, this is your chance.
Wonderful. So that's the BioBlitz, June 30th through July 1st. Mm-hmm. So tell us about some of the other educational opportunities at Hawthorne Hollow.
So We have some educational signs that are going into our arboretum, like I mentioned earlier, and that's going to be a really exciting thing. Towards the end of the summer, we're hoping that that'll be finished by, where people can come out and they can walk the trails and they can learn about trees, they can learn about astronomy, all of those things. But we also have gotten a grant, I believe it was last year, from the Kenosha Community Foundation, and they were able to help us to create some signs that are going to go elsewhere on the property, so not just in the arboretum, but out by the schoolhouses, by that fen that I was talking about, to talk about the history and just interpretive educational signage. And so that's going to be coming up really, really soon, and we're really excited about that too. We are, the signs are finished, they're made, and so we just have to get them printed and put out. So
okay,
that's really awesome. Other educational things coming up, we've got in June, we have Planets and Pancakes, which is one of our observatory events. So in the past, we used to have Birds and Breakfast for our for Mother's Day weekend. And then after COVID, we weren't doing the breakfast part anymore. So that became Birds and Plants, which is actually this weekend on Saturday from 9 to 1. So it's a bird walks and plant sale with help from the Hoy Audubon Society. But then Planets and Pancakes is just another way for us to incorporate those pancakes and incorporate our delicious maple syrup into an event. And so that is going on June 17th. And so people come out real early in the morning. There's only a specific time of the year where all the planets appear to be in line in the sky. Mm. And you can only see it at like 3 a.m. So people come out 3 a.m. We look at all the planets in line, and then we go and we have a pancake breakfast where the pancakes are shaped like planets. So it's a really fun thing. And then again, our ongoing things, you know, I do night hikes usually twice a month, on Wednesdays or Friday nights. We have our ongoing observatory events. We've got adult and family classes that are popping up all the time. So there's always something to learn at Hawthorne Hollow.
I just wanted to jump in and say, when Kaylin said our maple syrup, it really is their maple syrup. They tap the trees, they cook the sap down, and they bottled the syrup. So,
and we do, I'm going to regret saying this, but we do still have syrup. Now, it's going fast. We like to try to have it until Christmas time when people want to give it as gifts, but man, it's going fast. So if you're interested in getting some maple syrup, call us or come by and come pick up a bottle, because it is running low. And we have a lot of the dark stuff this year too. Mm. So it's got a more molassesy flavor. So if you're interested in using for baking, or if you really just like that dark flavor, we definitely recommend coming out and coming to get some of that.
Maybe
so.
This weekend at Birds and Plants.
Yeah, we will have it in our boutique this weekend during the Birds and Plants sale. So that's, again, that's on Saturday the 13th from 9 to 1 at Hawthorne Hollow.
With bird walks from the Hoy Audubon Society. They're coming and doing bird walks for us.
Ah, wonderful.
Looking at all the migrating birds.
And I imagine you get a lot of birds at Hawthorne Hollow.
Yes, we do.
It must be an amazing place to look at them.
This time of year, especially. Yeah.
Now, is this your annual plant sale?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
It was once Birds and Breakfast, and then COVID changed it, and we'll get back to breakfast at one of these years, but Birds and Plants, it's a fun sale. We have live music from Matt Meyer and Colby Millay.
And that's this Saturday again. What are the hours?
From 9 to 1.
9 until 1.
And it's supposed to be nice out.
Ah.
Knock on wood. It's supposed to rain tomorrow and Sunday, but not Saturday. So.
Okay, well, I hope right about that. but this happens rain or shine, I assume.
Yes.
It'll be nice.
It'll be beautiful, sunny, 70.
So you have connections. Okay, all right. TJ, tell us more about the boutique.
The boutique was at the Two Sisters Boutique, Two Sisters being Ruth and Margaret, and it's our gift shop. So the Friends of Hawthorne Hollow, which is our support organization, have run and developed the Two Sisters Boutique. And at one point during COVID, you know, a lot of changes during COVID, but they handed it over. So now it's run by us, the staff. And we have Hawthorne Hollow merchandise in there. We have different artists from, like, really generous, awesome artists from around the area have donated their art, their woodwork to the boutique, and it's just one of our many fundraisers that we have.
Yeah.
You know, us being a nonprofit, we have to get creative with our fundraisers.
So when is the boutique open to the public?
Well, it is open every weekend during the summer on Saturdays. Consistently in the afternoons and Saturdays. And then when the weather is nice throughout the week, our week, Tuesdays through Fridays, it's open during the summers.
Okay. Right now it's not open then?
When I say summers, nice days like today.
Oh, okay.
During the early spring and late fall when the weather's kind of iffy, we have to get creative with our hours. But if you go there now, the doors are open.
Very good. So, like, even today?
Even today, on the weekend? Come on out. Yeah, we have maple syrup and all the nice Hawthorne Hollow hats and shirts.
Very good. Tell us a little more about other ways in which Hawthorne Hollow manages the financial end of things. I mean, and are you in need of donations from people? Are there other ways in which people can be supportive of your efforts?
Thanks for asking. it's not nonprofit. We're a nonprofit organization. That means we get buy on donations from our generous committee members and grants. And we've gotten some really generous grants throughout the years. This year we have, Kayla mentioned, the Kenosha Community Foundation, the Racine Community Foundation, S.C. Johnson. They are consistently generous donors. Am I missing any, Kayla?
We Energies
donated.
We got a grant from Wild Ones, too, for some native plants to put out in a new rain garden happening at the farm, so that's exciting.
And then there's members. The Friends of Hawthorne Hollow membership drive is going on right now. We have our annual fund drives, and so many events. We have fundraising events. We have three concerts coming up this year. One in June. June 23rd is Rhythm de Vie. They're like a gypsy jazz band from Chicago. They're in Kenosha. They're amazing. Then we have KR Bluegrass on July 28th. Great bluegrass band. And then Ben Manuela. He's a really powerful rock and soul musician. On August 18th. And then our annual Walk in the Woods Art Fair is September 9th. It's our 31st one this year, so we've got our act together by now on it. And then we finish off the year with the Harvest Hootenanny. It's just pretty much a showcase of our heritage farmstead with, music and crafts for the families. And then our holiday boutique at the end of the year. Fresh greens and the Christmas holiday season decor.
Yeah, wonderful. I've actually never been to a music performance there. Where does that happen?
It's so nice. Okay, so it's down by the river. That we have an outdoor amphitheater that is nested along the Pike River. Mm. And, the sun goes down, and we light up all the trees. And we have local beer from Public Brewery and usually some really nice food. And the bands play right there next to the river. And it's really scenic. It's picturesque. It's usually around 300 people come out on a nice day. The weather's always nice. It's always fun. Come on out. I'll get you some tickets.
Well, the next time you have an opera singer, I will be there. So, seriously.
That would be cool, opera.
Actually, it sounds really cool. It sounds absolutely wonderful. Is there anything else we need to touch on that you were hoping to talk about regarding Hawthorne Hollow? We've covered a whole lot of ground here.
Yeah, thank you. It's a big year for us, and we've mentioned a few things with the signage and the opening of the new trails. But another big thing is the Thursday morning club overlook. It's a cantilever overlook in Margaret's Garden. So Margaret's Garden sits there on the edge of the floodplain, and there's a hill on top of there's a hill that drops off into the floodplain. And this cantilever overlook, the contractors are calling it a covered bridge, but it's literally an overlook. So you'll be able to walk out off of the bluff into the subcanopy of the floodplain, and it'll be covered. It'll be great for birders, any visitors. It's going to be really nice. We had some very generous supporters make this possible.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks for everyone who donated
to
that.
And when is that coming?
Thank you. It's June. It's happening. We've got the permit. We're breaking ground in June. So we're really excited about that and so many other things happening this year. This is a big year for us.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I can't wait for next year.
Yeah. It's cool. I'm just curious. There's a lot of ways in which Hawthorne Hollow reminds me of like a designated historic site, and when you are given that designation, it also means a whole lot of things that in a sense you are forbidden from doing. I mean, you can't take something like the beautiful Rhody Opera House in downtown Kenosha and paint it pink or whatever. I mean, it must be preserved. Is there some kind of official designation which means, you know, you cannot build a Burger King in the middle of Hawthorne Hollow, or is it just your own devotion to the cause of the Teusser sisters and what they wanted this to be that in a sense guides the decisions that you make?
Yeah, we don't get too crazy with our ideas, and we always think about what the Teusser sisters would have wanted, you know, and think about what they would think of how it's going now. And anything that we do, like these concerts and say the weddings and our rentals, everything like that is just goes towards funding our mission and funding operations at Hawthorne Hollow. You know, operations is the big expense there. We're fortunate to have all these amazing volunteers and great supporters in the community. So I just want to thank everyone in the community that comes out to Hawthorne Hollow and really helps us out. I feel really grateful for being surrounded by so many great people, and thanks, thank you.
With what you said about the designation, when the Teusser sisters purchased the land and they turned it into the wildlife refuge, the land was then basically dedicated as such. And so, as far as I know, and I'm looking at you, TJ, I don't know if you know this either, but it is protected. And so, for as long as the High Slot Foundation and as long as Hawthorne Hollow is there, it's going to be protected, and there's not going to be any Burger Kings or pink buildings on the property. But I don't believe, have an official designation as like a historic site as far as the buildings go. We do have that plaque by the road, which is like a historical marker, but we don't have like an official designation like a protection, but we use, you know, again, our mission to guide us to keep protecting those buildings and keep, you know, protecting the legacy. So
the land will always be protected. Yeah. if for some reason Hawthorne Hollow fails, I think it'll fall back to Audubon.
Right. Well, it's wonderful what you've done, and a lot of exciting new things as well, and being true to the beautiful tradition that has always been a part of Hawthorne Hollow. We encourage people to look out at your website, which is beautiful, hawthornehollow.org.
I have a quick question.
Okay, real quick.
If one wanted to volunteer at Hawthorne Hollow, what might we do? And do you need volunteers?
Always. We always need volunteers. We have a staff. We have like a full-time staff of like 5 of us, but at the peak of the year when we have our summer staff as well, we've got like 13 of us or so, depending, give or take. But we've got 90 acres now to deal with, and we've got so many, as you have heard, events, educational opportunities, trail maintenance, restoration work, conservation work. Like, there's so much work to be done, so we are always, always looking for volunteers. And we like to think that we treat our volunteers pretty well. We do, like, an end-of-the-year, like, volunteer appreciation party, and you get a lot of perks for hanging out at Hawthorne Hollow all
Fantastic.
The time. Not that you're volunteering for perks, but it is a great place to be. But also, I hear you. but also, if you want to volunteer, check out our website. There is a tab on the website for contribute, and there's a volunteer tab, and you can fill out a form, and you'll be put on our volunteer list, so you'll hear about all of our opportunities there.
Fantastic. All right. TJ Levesque, Kaylin Palomares, great to have you here, and continue to have a wonderful year at Hawthorne Hollow, and thank you for all that you do to make it such a beautiful place.
Thank you so much.
Good to have you here. Nan, anything you want to announce? And it has to be fast.
It has to be fast. Of course, we always have announcements. So very quickly, let me just tell you that Pringle Nature Center is having their first annual wildflower run Saturday, May 20th. The race starts at 9 a.m. If you want the details and you want to be a runner, or you could be a walker, it doesn't matter, just go to Pringle's website. It's $20 per person. All of the proceeds go to support their programming. Summer camps are in full swing.